to cover this hour with Dr. Henry Nyman. Henry, welcome back. It is another very busy and diverse day. Things are moving in multiple directions all the time. You sent me something recently, 5 hospitalized cases in Solano County, California. We're seemingly on the precipice of something very big, very sweeping, and very explosive. I just don't know how much longer we have to wait to find out what's going to happen, but we'll get to that later on. The big story today, I think, was the sad news that David and Sally Abel, who have become internationally and world-renowned for their social media posts from the quarantined cruise ship in Yokohama Harbor, are both now positive. They have been diagnosed as coronavirus positive, and they will no doubt be removed from the ship, separated, and put in medical hospital facilities. Don't know for sure. Somebody wrote in and said that they were being put not in a hospital, but a hostel. No. A youth. What do they call a youth? Not a hospice. What's it called?
They're hostels. They're youth hostels. I'm not sure that that's the hostel that they're going into, but they used to have youth hostels.
It was a term that was used. Yeah. A youth hostel.
No, it was hostel. It was a hostel. That he said. He said he was going into a hostel. And he actually just issued a clarification on that. Because
David did?
Yes. I mean, he's somewhat in denial about his diagnosis. And so he had said before that they don't send infected patients to a hostel, that they would go to a hospital.
Yeah.
And then he interpreted going to a hostel as an indication that he really wasn't infected. And he kind of misinterpreted what the hostel meant. And the reason he's going to a hostel is because all of the hospitals are full.
Are full, so, yeah.
So he's going in a hostel temporarily until they can get a bed for him in the hospital.
All right,
but
let's do this.
He is positive, and she is positive.
Got it. Let's. This, I think, was the last major posting. It was yesterday. I don't think they posted anything today. 165,000 views.
He put something up just now, but to clarify
now?
That hostel.
I see.
Well,
okay.
It was to clarify that he really is positive, because he started saying that he didn't think he was positive because they wouldn't put him in a hostel if he was. And so he created confusion, and then he tried to clear it up tonight.
All right. Here's what he said yesterday, and I think you can hear the frustration. We'll just play a couple minutes of this.
In port to disembark, we were not allowed off the ship. The ship was placed in quarantine in the bay at Yokohama, where we remained for a few days, so there was no opportunity to get off, even if we wanted to. Then, second or third day, we were confined to our cabins, and that's how it's been ever since. Now it's very difficult, because we've had our throat swabbed yesterday, and we are awaiting the result to see whether we are positive for the virus. If one of us proves positive, that person will be taken to a medical facility. It could be up to 4 hours away from the ship, which means we're going to be separated for the first time in 50 years of marriage. The medical facilities don't speak English. They don't serve European food. It's going to be very, very hard. Of course we're worried. I would dearly love the UK government to get us out of here. Yeah, and it makes it worse for us when we see the Americans are actually getting off the ship right now, that it's been announced that the Canadians have got a plane coming to repatriate them. Hong Kong have got a plane coming to repatriate them. Australia is doing something about it. And I can't see the UK doing anything. We haven't heard directly from the Foreign Office. I have contacted them. They have put me in touch indirectly with the British ambassador in Tokyo. And what we've been told is the Americans are getting off, that England is doing everything it can. It's talking to the World Health Organization, who are recommending we are not sent back to the UK. That's very, very kind of the WHO. Very kind. Why? It is most certainly affecting my wife and I. I'm a very positive person, and if you were to listen to any of the broadcasts 7 days ago, you'd have found me being very upbeat. Not that way anymore, I'm afraid, because it's making it worse. See, all of the countries coming alongside their people and taking them home, putting them into quarantine in their homeland. And we just feel that we have been completely forgotten and neglected. It's as if the borders have been closed to us and England are saying, we don't want you back. That's what it feels like. A great...
All right, there it is. David Abel yesterday and today they were given the news. And this thing just keeps rolling along, that cruise ship nightmare, which, as you said yesterday, will go down in the histories of modern medicine, if not all-time medicine, as being one of the most bungled and botched things that we've ever seen. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay, well, actually, I was going to spend a good part of the night tonight talking about the situation, which is complicated, and in part because there are so many people involved, and they're lagging behind. I mean, just to update what he was saying yesterday with regard to Britain and forgetting them, they are evacuating the British citizens that are negative. And that's generally what all of the countries are doing, and theoretically that's what the U.S. was supposed to do, but then they got the notice after they were already on the bus that they had 14 positives, but since they were asymptomatic, they put them in a separate area of the plane and went ahead and took them out. Confusing or compounding part of that is that there are definitely more than 14 positives in the group that the U.S. took, and there are probably going to be the same situation for all the other countries until the next few days. And just to give a little bit more detail on how the testing is being done, they did most of the people, let's see, I'm losing track of what came up which day, I guess. Okay, the 88 came up early this morning, so we haven't talked about that. So just to give an update, they did have another 88 positives that were announced at like right, 2 or 3 in the morning. And they did test a record number. They tested, I didn't realize we're lagging, so I don't know, it was a little over 600. And of those 88, I believe 65 were asymptomatic, at least by their definition. And so it's very possible that round of testing, which is probably the round of testing that David Abel was in, or else it could be the one that's supposed to be announced tonight. They're announcing them later and later. So normal in the past, I would have the numbers like at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and now it's 11 o'clock, and they still haven't been announced. And like I say, they're getting closer, like 2 in the morning or so is when the numbers come out. So the 88 got the numbers up to, I guess it's 542. So there's 542 confirmed cases. And a good chunk of the more recent ones have been asymptomatic. And there's still about 1,300 that have never been tested. So because of that, it was virtually certain that some of the 328 that were taken out by the U.S. would include patients, passengers that have never been tested, mm-hmm. and therefore would almost certainly include more positives because everybody was at risk on that ship to be infected. So if they weren't tested, that probably meant they were asymptomatic, mm-hmm. according to their definition. And I don't know what their definition of asymptomatic is, but I strongly suspect their definition of asymptomatic is an absence of a fever.
Yep.
Because,
I agree.
Because David and Sally have been coughing on their videos for,
what, 2 weeks?
Four or five, like 6 weeks, not week, days. Yeah. For many days, many, many days. And, you know, the people that watched the videos would ask them about it, and they would say, oh, it's the air conditioning, and it's, you know, the air is kind of dry, and they put some wet towels up, and I said it was better, but they were still coughing. And, you know, any objective person without a medical degree could look at those videos and know they were both infected. And they continued to deny that they were infected. And they said that, you know, people have called the, you know, got in contact with the ship or whoever is involved with doing the management, and they've had healthcare workers come to their door and check to make sure they were okay because they had gotten a report that they were sick. Mm-hmm. And the healthcare workers apparently think that coughing is not a symptom as long as you have a normal temperature. So,
well, pretty silly. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't silly. They weren't tested. They were not tested until they were on the list of at risk because
of
their age.
That's the silliness.
And that's how
they were coughing, and they were symptomatic.
Right.
That coughing is a symptom.
Right, right. Exactly. So the fact that they were symptomatic and they weren't tested indicates that they didn't consider coughing to be a symptom. Because they've already had 200, 300, 400 positives on the ship, that they would know that almost everybody is at risk. And if they're coughing, and they've been coughing days on end, it wasn't just coughing. He had diarrhea. He blamed it on the food. He was vomiting. He blamed it on the bad news he had received. I mean, he's vomiting, his diarrhea, and he's coughing.
Yeah.
And he's not being tested with any of that going on, with all of that going on, because he didn't have a fever. And so they already know from their own experience that they're getting positives on what they consider asymptomatic. And even using their definition of asymptomatic as being no fever, they know that you don't need a fever to be infected. They're getting positive after positive and asymptomatic as in no symptoms.
Yep.
And in spite of that, they are not testing people with symptoms.
This is a Japan health agency, I assume, for Yokohama or whatever the district is.
Right, but there's an MD who has a background in infection control.
Uh-huh. Epidemiology got on, and infection control.
Right. Got on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And actually was working on the ship. Not as an infection control person, but just as a person helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been to sites that had Ebola. He was around for SARS, and he never felt more vulnerable at any site other than this one. He said that they had no infection control person in charge. The person in charge was some businessman or something. I mean, they didn't even have a doctor in charge.
How could this go on, Henry? How could this happen? The world is watching.
Well, they weren't watching inside, apparently, because this.
No, nope. They couldn't get in.
He said he was there, and there was, they usually divide it up in a hot zone where there are known infections and a green zone where there are no infections. And it didn't matter. People were walking from one side to the other. They were trampling virus all over the place. There was no division. You know, there might have been a line, but there was no.
No, they were dropping, shedding viruses everywhere.
Right.
And
they were eating their lunches in their suits. I mean, any lab in the country tells you you can't eat food in the lab. You know, so they're sitting in their hazmat suits eating lunch, and it was just a disaster inside. There was nothing that was going to keep that virus in any one place. There was everything to put that virus everywhere on that ship. And, you know, I'm sure the same thing was happening with the trays. You know, they were just, you know, they go into somebody who's coughing and
trays,
obviously
silverware,
infected.
Silverware,
right,
plates,
right, right.
Glasses,
right,
and
right.
They go down and they wash them and put them back right. in service? Come on.
Well, it looked to me like a lot of it was disposable. But
in the beginning it wasn't. I saw some of his earlier videos. It wasn't. It was good serviceware, and anyway, go ahead.
Well, whatever it was, it was being picked up by guys in hazmat suits, and they were going, you know, they were picking up from one room and take it out, and then they go to the next room.
Mind-boggling.
And so if they got virus on their hands, they brought the virus into the next room. It was like they had no idea what infection control was.
No, they were inoculating people all day, every day.
All they knew is they had to feed them three meals a day, and that the crew was getting sick, and who knows what was getting into the food, and they were going around and protecting themselves because they had hazmat suits on, but they were going in the room and out of the room, and even if they didn't even walk in the room and they were just reaching into the room to get the trays,
right.
They would be getting contaminated trays, and then they would go to the next room, and they would bring it out, and they would
ludicrous.
It was like they had no idea what they were doing.
I think you made a good point when you mentioned the food itself. I think that's another vector. An infected worker preparing food, exhaling. That this virus is apparently that infectious. That's a potential vector right there.
Exactly. The virus, I mean, the R0 or odd.
RO, yeah.
It keeps on changing. You know, I saw
for our listeners, Henry, let me tell them what RO is or R0.
I saw one report that was talking that has to do with how many people one
the average number of people an infected person infects. All right.
Right.
And it's
and
run
so
up.
If it's one, if it's below one, then the infection is going to go down because one person is not infecting enough to keep the infection going. But if it's two, that's bad. If it's up around three or four, that's very bad. And there's some reports that says it's between 4.6 and 6.8 or something, which is astronomical. So, so whatever the exact number is, it's easily transmitted. And they even knew that from the outside. There's like four people on the outside that have been contaminated, infected by someone on the ship. There was one guy who was doing record keeping. He was infected. There was another one that was driving people around. He was infected. There was a taxi cab that gave four of the passengers a ride. Yeah. He was infected. Yeah. And there was a fourth one. And a couple of them had protective, you know, had, I don't know what they were wearing, but they had something that was supposed to keep them from getting infected. It wasn't like they didn't have any idea that they were dealing with infected passengers just people on the ship even somebody that was being carried to taken to the hospital. They knew there were infections there, and they were taking precautions, and they still got infected. So the point is,
let's just kind of wrap.
There was very important.
What's going to happen to these people on that ship?
Well, what's going to happen is I was getting to that. They're doing a final round of testing. And they've collected the samples from everybody on the ship.
Uh-huh.
And they started that testing today. And they think it's going to take 3 days. And so that's why I was hoping to have that result today, but we don't have that. So they're probably going to be testing somewhere between 600 to 800 people a day. And if they're negative, as far as they're concerned, they're free to go. If they're positive, then they go to the hospital eventually, although it sounds like they go to a hostel until a bed opens up, and then they go to a hospital. But in any event, they expect that testing to be completed by the end of the week. So by the end of the week, everybody on the ship will have been tested at least once, including these 1,000 to 1,300 that have never been tested. And then that result will determine whether they can leave the ship or whether they have to go to the hospital. And then if they are free to leave the ship, most of the larger groups anyway have planes that are scheduled and made arrangements for them to take them back to their country. And most of them have indicated that they plan on starting a 14-day quarantine period in their country to make sure that they are not harboring the virus. Because they tested negative, they still could have been infected and not had enough virus yet. And so they would put them in a quarantine for 14 days, and they would test them. As long as they didn't develop symptoms, they would test them at the end of the 14 days. And if they were negative, then they would be done. You know, they would be out of quarantine and could go about their business. And, you know, there's some that are in between. There are people that don't want to leave yet, even if they were negative, because they have a relative that's in the hospital, so they want to stay in Japan until their relative or, you know, spouse in many cases gets cleared and can leave, so that they can, you know, leave together. And so it is going to end, but it's going to end on a very, very, very bad note and a very complicated note. And that's what I was kind of trying to get the data on and use the U.S. as an example, because they're kind of out front, because they've already taken 328 people off. And unfortunately, I think because of the large number of people, I was hoping the CDC was going to give an update. There has been no update from the CDC, but I do have some preliminary data, which is consistent with what I was expecting, but still way short of the type of information that I thought.
Here's the latest from the CDC, and let me read this. Fauci is being interviewed by somebody. Top disease official Anthony Fauci says risk of coronavirus in the U.S. is, quote, minuscule. Skip wearing a mask and just wash your hands, says Anthony. The formal story is the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will be testing for the coronavirus in people in five major cities who show up at clinics with flu-like symptoms, but who test negative for the seasonal varieties of flu. If that testing shows the virus has slipped into the country in places federal officials don't know about, we've got a problem. That's a quote from Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Said that today to USA Today's editorial board.
That's his message.
Now, is he just blowing some smoke here?
No. If you press him one step further, then he'll acknowledge that, you know, if they slip in, then it could be a problem. And that's why the surveillance centers were set up. And that's not news. I mean, that was announced, I don't know, maybe, I'm losing track of days. That was announced last week at the CDC teleconference
Thursday,
that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they named the five cities. It was, I think I said it on Friday. They were doing LA, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and New York City. Mm-hmm. And, I know he did, because you had asked a few questions about it. And it was, it's the same surveillance center that's used for influenza. And so if you go, if you see your doctor and he's in that network, you come in with flu-like symptoms, he would normally test you for flu, and he'll still test you for flu. And if you're negative for the flu, then they'll test you for the coronavirus. And so they've got those kits at those five different cities in those doctors that are participating in that network, and that's their community surveillance. So they're looking to see who has the virus that is basically going to see a doctor. And you know, prior to setting that up, the only people that would be tested would be people that said they were coming from Wuhan or Hubei province, and then it was expanded to they were coming from China.
Right.
But I've said this previously, the virus is spread beyond China now, so they could very well have the virus, and if they were coming from Singapore or Hong Kong or Tokyo or anywhere in Japan, actually. And all of those areas are starting to see community spread. And so, therefore, just visiting those areas could result in an infection. And then if you were symptomatic and you were sick enough to go to the doctor, then you could get picked up if you went to one of these five cities. You know, if you weren't in these five cities, you wouldn't be picked up. And if you felt that you had a cold, but you didn't really need to see the doctor, which would happen in many cases, then you wouldn't see the doctor, so you wouldn't get picked up even if you were in those cities. So this is to kind of take it up a notch that these would be people that were at least sick enough to see the doctor, and then they would test you regardless of whether you are coming from a designated area that would be likely to produce result in your infection. So they are doing that. They are concerned. He's saying that it's minuscule because there's no demonstrated human-to-human transmission. And then he's here. Repeating the right in the United States, and he's repeating the misconception or the misstatement that there are. I mean, what he'll say right after that, I've heard his talk a couple times today is essentially the same talk every time he gives that. He'll say in the United States we've only got 15 confirmed cases, and all but two of those are people that brought the virus in, and the two that didn't bring it in are spouses. So it was human to human, you know, husband to wife or wife to husband, and that's the only human to human transmission within the United States. Otherwise, it's travelers that have brought the virus in. So that's why he says it's minuscule. There hasn't been a documented case of human-to-human transmission. Now, what they're not saying when they're saying there are only 15 cases in the U.S. is they're ignoring the Diamond Princess. And the Diamond Princess has led to a lot of cases to be in the United States. The number I can't tell you yet because the CDC has not completed the testing or released it. But I can give you a few hints based upon what I was able to dig up today, and it's all partial data. As a reminder, what happened was most of the U.S. cases that had not come up positive in Japan got on one of two planes. One went to Travis Air Force Base in California, and the other one went to Lackland in Texas. And there was 177 went to Travis, I think, and 151 went to Lackland. And when they got on the bus, before they got on the plane, Japan notified them that they got the results from 2 days ago, which was there were 99 positives. And out of those 99 positives, 8 were Americans. And so they said, we've got 8 positives, and all 8 of them were already, was it 8 or was it 14? It was 14, right? There were 14 positives. And they had already been on the bus and were ready to go. And the CDC basically did an examination of everybody, and they were all asymptomatic. So they took the 14 positives and put them in a separate compartment on the ship so that they were separated from the rest of the group. And then they flew to those two air bases. Now, when they got to the air bases, they took 13 of them and flew them to Nebraska. And there they had one that they put in the containment area because that person was somewhat symptomatic, is kind of lightheaded. I don't remember all the symptoms, but he had more symptoms than anybody else. So they put him in a separate area. Uh-huh. And then the others they put in the kind of the quarantine area, and they're all separated from each other. And included were three sets of spouses. And so I think at the time, three of the spouses were negative and three were positive. So they thought that they had 10 that tested positive in Japan. So, right. So 10 of the 14 were tucked away in Nebraska at their facility, which is the same one they took Ebola cases to, and it can, mm-hmm. I think, hold up to 60. And so the question was, A, where were the other four? And B, did they test anybody on the way over and get additional positives? And I was hoping that the CDC would make an announcement that they tested, you know. I naively thought they were going to say, oh, we tested all 328, I think, and we've got X number of positives, and this is where they're going. And they didn't do that because I think they don't have the results yet. But anyway, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, none of that is public as to how many were positive. But there was a media report that came out this afternoon that indicated there was a positive case in California. I went and saw that there was a press release on that. And the press release indicated that these were from Travis Air Force Base. And they had one patient that had been tested positive in Japan, and then they had one more that was symptomatic, and they ended up both going to the same hospital, and the hospital was not in the county that Travis is in. It's in the adjacent county, because the county that Travis is in was already full. And that's what those five cases were that you read at the beginning. So those five are also from the ship. They are from went to Travis, and they felt that they needed to be hospitalized. And it's not clear how many of them are hospitalized because they tested positive in Japan, and how many of those are positive are hospitalized because they're symptomatic and they need to be tested. So the press release kind of indicated that CDC doesn't have any test results regarding any of these patients, but right. these patients are in the hospital because they were either positive by Japan or they're symptomatic. So I tried to find out what was going on in Lackland, and I haven't been able to find that out. But in all likelihood, it's a similar situation. So these are already above the 14 now. So even if you take away the three spouses in Omaha, they would have 10 there, and then they would have one more positive, which is 11, and then they've got, then there's one that's suspect, and then there's five more. So they may not have more that are positive, but they have more that are symptomatic, and therefore they put them into a hospital. I suspect that the plan is that if they're symptomatic and positive, that they'll end up moving them to Omaha with the other one.
They'll try and concentrate them all in Omaha, the positives.
The positives that are symptomatic.
Uh-huh.
I think that the positives that are asymptomatic, they might keep at the local hospitals, but I think all of this is going to be dependent upon how many they have. And my strong suspicion is that they're going to have quite a few more. They might have already been notified because the result that came in with the 88 positives at like 2 in the morning today very well may have had some of the Americans that are in the United States now may have given samples before they left to go on the bus, and therefore they were tested and they got the results. So they may already know that some of them are positive based upon the results from Japan, in addition to the 14 that they already know about. And so that's one set of positive results. But the CDC, I believe, will test all of them. And since some of them have never been tested and others were probably tested, you know, a week or two ago, you know, they might have been tested in the first batch, then there's a good chance that they would have been infected since then. And not tested because, you know, they were kind of going through the ones they haven't tested at all before they're going back over the ones that...
Well, let me ask another question here, and we only have a few minutes left. So on board the ship, total Americans now positive, symptomatic, how many? What is it, 45, 50?
Well, no. More than that.
Symptomatic and positive.
Okay, here you go. From the ones that the Americans that at one time were on that ship, 46 are in hospitals in Japan. So 46 Americans are positive and are hospitalized. They did not come to the United States. And then of the ones that came to the United States, there were 14 that were positive. And they're in these various facilities. Some are in Nebraska, and I think it's 10. And the other four are in these two counties in northern California. One is in the county that's got the one other symptomatic, and the
San Benito, I think. Yeah.
No, I had it in front of me. No, that's this is the county that Travis Air Force Base is in, as well as the adjacent county. So San Benito are ones that were in the U.S., and then they went to UCSF. So they're at University of California, San Francisco, right now. They were in San Benito. The ones I'm talking about are all from the ship. And so the number is, there's 7 in California. And, you know, I would guess there's 7 or so in Texas that I don't have any hard numbers on yet. So that's 14, and then there's another 10 in Nebraska, so that's 24, and then 46 is 70. So there's about 70 so far.
But we have
there's 328 in the United States, and I just told you about, I'm guessing, 24 of them. So there's still almost 300 that we don't have any data on. And out of those 300, you know, it would not surprise me if there were another 50 or 100 more on top of the 70 that I already told you. So,
which suggests, does it not, that on the ship, H2H was a real factor? Had to be.
Yeah, or or they were dragging it around. I mean, they probably didn't have that much close contact. They were coughing and they were, you know, getting it on these guys, you know, hazmat suits, and they were tracking it around on the ground, and these people were let out of their rooms. So it didn't have, it depends how you define a stage. If you're defining it as somebody coughing on you, there might not have been that much. If you're defining that as somebody kind of walking around and then going to their room and taking their shoes off and getting the virus from their shoes to their hands and they rub their nose or something, that method of H to H, you know, there was plenty of transmission of that virus, one way or another.
One way or the other.
The ship was full of virus.
It still is.
Even the people, it still is. And even the people that stayed in their rooms and wore masks, although the masks aren't going to help you that much coming in, they've got, you know, 542 plus whatever they're going to announce tonight. And then after that, it's testing everybody. I mean, there's still 1,000 people that have never been tested. And so I suspect that on the ship, they're going to stay in Japan. There's going to be 100 people. Yeah, I'm sorry, 1,000 people. There's already 542. So I think they've got a reasonable shot at getting 1,000 if they count the ones that are in the U.S. already. So on the ship, they would end up with, at least 540 plus whatever is in the U.S. And in all likelihood, I think that the numbers will continue going up because they, you know, people that were tested 2 weeks ago and negative, there's a good chance there's a chance that they were infected when they were negative. They had just been newly infected.
Now,
and there's a chance they got infected since then.
All right. We got to touch on this. It's all over the internet. I haven't posted anything on it yet, but there are stories out there written by observers and amateurs who say, so far, it doesn't appear that any Western white Caucasians have died from the virus. Now, this is, I know, I'm just telling you what's out there so you can help correct the information.
No, that may be true right now, because that's where the virus started, in China. There aren't that many white Americans in China.
The white Americans
are on that ship.
They got infected. That's the point.
They're infected. And there's 20 severe cases. And I think half of them are Japanese, because half of the passengers are Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
But I assure you, there will be dead white Americans from the Diamond Princess. I guarantee that. And it might take a few more weeks, but that's
we
what
could
people
be,
do.
See, here's that's the other what, side
that,
of that
that's
coin.
What people do. People don't take time into account. They go and they look at people.
No,
that
I was going to mention that. It's exactly what I was
going to
say.
And they said, oh, look, they've died. And they look at people that were infected 2 weeks ago and say, oh, they're alive.
Thank you.
Therefore, they must have some type of immunity. There are severe cases from the Diamond Princess, and some of those severe cases will die. And they will not be
all ages. It's important that you straighten that out. Thank you. Because this stuff runs all over the net. I mean, I can deny it. I can do this. I don't put these stories up because they're not based on reality. We've got time here.
Well,
it could be another 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we begin to see cases here in the U.S.
There are severe. And along those lines, because this is some of the confusion, and this is some of the confusion between this outbreak and SARS, okay? SARS stands for the sudden acute respiratory syndrome.
Severe
acute respiratory syndrome. And that's because these people had pneumonia. They had atypical pneumonia. And when they talk about a case fatality rate, that is for cases with pneumonia. Mm-hmm. That was what the case fatality, that's what a case was for this disease. In fact, they even called it novel coronavirus infected pneumonia.
Something.
It was CNIP, is what they called it, because it was pneumonia. The case fatality rate with pneumonia is double digits. It's like 15%. It's higher than SARS. Mm-hmm. They're saying it's lower than SARS because they're taking all of these cases that didn't meet the original definition. They don't have pneumonia. If you don't have pneumonia, you're not going to die from this. You die from the pneumonia. So the milder cases that are being reported, that are a lot of the cases that are basically coming across the border, they're not going to die. They're asymptomatic, or they don't have pneumonia, and those cases are not going to die. You have to get a certain level of infection like they have in China, and you can see the severe cases as well as the milder cases. 80% of the cases are on the milder side where they don't get pneumonia. And that's what you're seeing on the initial cases. Once the concentration gets up and you've got community transmission and you've got people transmitting that have a higher viral load, or there's many people infected.
Right now, there are a lot of viral loads that are growing in this country within people who are infected. So understand that. It's a geometrical thing.
And in China, you had a lot of that. So you had people that got infected with high viral loads. They got pneumonia and they died. And there haven't been that many pneumonia cases yet, because these are predominantly people that came out of China. The community transmission is just starting in some of the countries.
Right.
But the Diamond Princess will have a lot of non-Asians on their passenger list.
Oh, well, wait till all the results come in. We got to wrap this up, Henry. But tomorrow, the next day, are you expecting results?